The following program is a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Clouds.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Can be sports, pop culture, political. Any item you have you think it might be valuable, give us a call, 312-332-3776, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a current auction. HugginsandScott.com. Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions is on with us. And Bill, I see you've got previews up for your June auction, where the bidding begins June 1st. There's an I have never seen one of these for sale before. I don't know if you've had one before, but you have a Nolan Ryan 1979 Angels game-worn and signed home jersey, Mears A10, and the JSA authentication. $5,000 minimum bid. Have you had one of those before, Bill?
No, I think we may have had a Ryan jersey in the past or something, but not graded A10. That's hard to get. I mean, that's from the way they grade those things, that means that it's the best of the best, you know.
So that would be similar to getting a PSA 10 on a card?
Yeah.
It's the top grade. Wow. That thing looks beautiful. And Nolan Ryan's stuff is big money no matter what. That's going to be interesting to follow along and see what that baby goes for.
The estimate is probably somewhere in the $8,000 to $15,000 range.
Wow, that'll be interesting. That's cool. Now, we're giving away, last week's winner did not email Vince at ERC Delivery, so we're giving away an Upper Deck football box again, 2015 Upper Deck football. 3 autographs per box. The draft was just in Chicago. I had some of the guys that went to the draft stopped in at T-Crown, said they had a lot of fun with it. So, and it looked like the Bears did pretty well. You know, I had pulled a Kevin White autograph from Upper Deck Inscriptions early in the year.
Yeah, I think
and
sold I remember it. You telling me that.
No, I got $100 for it, so I didn't mind. But that would be nice to have something to him now. I was kind of surprised he was there with the number 7 pick. But when
he
you
looks
have a,
good.
When,
he
yeah,
looks good.
When you have a chance for a Pro Bowl caliber player, even if maybe that's not the position you were thinking, I like the fact that they snagged him, because he does appear to have Pro Bowl talent.
And he doesn't just wait for the ball to get to him. He goes after it. He's going to go take the ball and catch it. So
plus 4.3 speed.
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty
he's
awesome.
He's like, remember in the 80s they had Willie Gault with the speed, but he was kind of soft. This guy's like Willie Gault, but not soft. Yep, that's hopefully what it turns out to be. Looks like he has good hands.
Absolutely.
The draft looked good. A couple things to me that were a little strange. It seemed like they started picking the same guys, same positions as last year, which basically said after Kyle Fuller in the first round, the Bears draft list last year, they're kind of saying, that guy's not good. That guy, we need him. They had to replace them all.
Yep.
And when they went with the safety in the fifth round, and I think it was. Yeah, I hope he's good. I hope he's really good. He looks like he might be, but Brett Hundley was there, and I'm thinking, boy, why not, you know, do a quarterback? And then the Packers move up to get him, and I'm like, oh, no. But reading about him, I think he's got a lot of work. I don't think he's ready to play. I think it's a lot of work to do. So we'll see what happens with him. We have Mike from Chicago is on the line already. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Doing great. What's new?
Well, let's see. I got some information on the SP Legendary Cut Signature Roger Maris. 6 of 9.
This isn't Mike from Chicago, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali, is it?
That's right, Howard. I'm here. That's right. I'm in Chicago now. I saw the fight yesterday. Man, it was so terrible.
Man. He was doing his... It's not coming out so well on your phone,
on, that?
On your phone, but he does a really good Ali. This is one. This is almost as good as the Lanterns Rodney Dangerfield. It's a really good Ali. But now, Mike,
that fight was so terrible. I saw more action on a CTA bus.
That's pretty good. I like that.
He's got a really good impression going.
I want Joe Frazier. Oh, that's right. He's gone.
Ouch.
Ali was always mean to Frazier, was he? You know, actually, I think later in their lives, they got together. They got along better later on. But
Joe still felt he was full of you-know-what.
That first fight, the hate that Frazier had for Ali after he was just ripping on him so much. That's what
he
you didn't...
He was too ugly to be a champion. He was too ugly.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the item you're calling about, you have some nice stuff. It's the Roger Maris cut signature?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Now, that was out of Upper Deck Legendary Cuts. I think that might be at least over a grand, and I think it might be in the $1,500 to $2,000 range. Now, Bill Huggins, is that new cards? I know you take some new cards. You know, that some more expensive cards that come out of the newer products, a Maris cut signature number to 9, would that be a Huggins and Scott item?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Mike, if you're interested in putting that in the auction, definitely give me a call. We certainly have quite a number of buyers who will be all over that.
But Mike's also the guy who had the Ulysses Grant autograph number to 6 that we were talking about last week.
Oh, yeah, both of those. Pair of home runs there.
And also, we have something else in common. Your birthday's April 12th, right?
Yes.
That's my birthday.
1958.
1954.
Okay.
Oh, very cool. Got some good synergy on the line.
Yeah,
here,
we
you
do
know?
Here. All right. Okay, well, it looks like we may have a consignment for a later Huggins and Scott auction. So, you know, the auction that should be a big one, I would think, is the one... from August, where you're going to be setting up at the National, right, Bill?
Yes, it's sort of our signature auction of the year because it's really the only auction where we're actually taking bids and the auction is ongoing and live throughout the show.
So. Oh, that's great.
Really? I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, the auction actually begins the Monday before the National, and then the National runs Wednesday to Sunday, and the auction is live throughout the entire show and ends then the following Thursday, which gives people three or four days to get home and finalize their bids. So it's kind of unique because normally when we set up at shows and have items for display, people say, well, how much is this? Well, it's in our next auction. Oh, okay. But now we can tell them that show, we say, well, the current bid is $700. You want to be $750? And they go, yes, I do. How do I do that?
Well, it's easy. Cool. Let me show you. Yeah, that's pretty neat. So you have a display up there with some glass cases and a lot of neat stuff will be on display at the National in Rosemont, right?
Oh, yeah. We have 7 big, giant lit-up display cases and everything and a really nice display of not everything that's in the auction, but a lot of the stuff that's kind of smaller and transportable type thing.
So if you were a Chicago dealer with that, ERC Delivery could come and get those cases and set them up, right? Right, Vince?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, 24 hours a day, yeah.
Going from Washington, D.C. to Rosemont, that's maybe a little...
We do it all. We do it all, Tom. Okay. Whatever works.
You'd figure it out. Huh?
Whatever a customer wants.
ERC Delivery. It's ercdelivery.com, right?
Sure.
That's the website?
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
And for the winner of the boxes, you have to email Vince at ercdelivery.com and set up the delivery, and they will deliver it free of charge right to your door. So the number is 312-332-3776. Now, you can also tweet a question. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If you tweet a picture of an item and we use it on the show, you will also be entered into the drawing. And Superman Todd.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Now, this is he's not even on the phone, and he's getting his intro, but he tweeted, he has, I don't know how he gets his stuff, but he has four pairs of Derrick Rose game-worn shoes.
Wow.
So he was wondering the value of those. Now, I've seen Derrick Rose, a single pair of shoes, go anywhere from $250 to $300 to $1,000 or more. So I guess part of it depends on how the Bulls continue on in the playoffs. Beating LeBron in five
would be
nice,
yes.
If Rose can stay healthy. But, Bill, what do you think of a lot like that with four pairs of shoes?
I don't know that I would run all four as one lot. That's probably a little overkill. You're probably diluting what you're going to get from them. I'd run them individually.
That's what I thought myself, actually. Yeah, you know, maybe. Now, are there certain, on something like that, are there certain pairs early in the career are worth more than later in the career? Or, like, if you can pin them down to being in a championship-type game? Or
That's the key. If you can photo match these, because a lot of them wear, they change those styles maybe more than once a year. Certainly every year, a lot of times, they'll change styles, little color, little this, little that, and if you can photo match, like some of the Jordan shoes and stuff, you can photo match those to playoff games and things like that, they will certainly bring more than a regular season game or something that's not photo matchable.
Right. Yeah, well, that's interesting. Now, I had another interesting happenstance on Twitter this week. This was pretty cool. Now, Addison Russell hit his first home run for the Cubs. This guy's a real good-looking infield prospect for the Cubs. And let's see now. I tweeted a picture of this. MLB Authentic tweeted a picture of the ball, and they had put their seal of approval on it. It's a hologram seal with numbering on it. And that proves that the item was what it is. Apparently, they must have put it into a computer then with the HZ86772, says Addison Russell, first home run at Wrigley Field and on the date. So I tweeted a picture of that, and then they started following me on Twitter, which was actually, I was very happy about that, because this is an incredibly smart process for collectors.
Absolutely. Yep.
And guys in the bleachers at Wrigley Field, if an opposing team hits a historic home run, don't throw it back. Go get it authenticated by these guys.
Yep, yep.
I actually sent a direct message to them, and I already heard back from them. I asked them if they have somebody at every game, and they do. They're our authenticators from MLB at every game. So I imagine what you do is you just would go find an Andy Frain or whatever, or find the office, and they'll hook you up with where the authenticator
is. It's a smart move.
Is.
It's a smart move.
It's a great move.
Absolutely.
Now, how don't you think, Bill, now that if somebody catches somebody's 500th home run, or like if somebody had caught, let's say A-Rod didn't have the steroid background, but he hits his 660th home run to tie Willie Mays, and you've got the MLB authentication on that, for you from an auction standpoint, that's great provenance and really allows you to sell that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when MLB finally woke up, and a lot of, and even NFL and the NBA about 15 years or so ago, and they decided that there's a gigantic market out there for this game use stuff, which actually the teams in the league own that stuff, not the players. And for years and years and years, decades and decades, all that stuff was going out the back door from equipment managers and trainers and what have you. And they all just realized, oh, my God, this is millions and millions of dollars going out. So they've come up with this hologram system. And believe it or not, I've actually had people where I think this guy who may have caught this ball, he doesn't have to find them. They're going to find him in the stand. They'll come to him, MLB. Would you like this authenticated?
Oh, well, that's cool. Yeah.
You don't even go find them. They see when an historic event like that happens, and these guys are out there, they'll find you.
So if you're in the bleachers at Wrigley Field and an opposing player, a young guy, hits maybe his first home run, whatever it is, if it's a big-name player and you catch the home run, don't throw it back. Come on. Keep it. Get it authenticated. It's a great collectible. Don't throw it back. That is maybe the dumbest tradition. I don't know why that started. It hasn't been that long. I mean, maybe 20 years.
Probably
maybe.
Because a lot of homers were hit against Cubs
pitching.
Yeah, I
guess so.
That's
they
why
just
they
got
started
sick
doing
of
it. That's right.
That's probably right. But stop that tradition.
That's
get
right.
those baseballs authenticated and get yourself a good collectible. Do not throw it back. White Sox fans aren't going to throw it back. No. I guarantee you that. So, yeah, that's really neat. So I think that ball went to Addison Russell because it landed in the left field bleachers and nobody was sitting there because of the construction.
Right, right.
So
cool.
I don't know when it must have been a construction guy or an Andy Frame got it that was holding it. But I think Addison Russell does have that. But let's say Addison Russell turns out to be a Hall of Famer, Bill, and that's his first home run. Estimate in about 20 years what that could be worth.
Boy, that's a tough one to put a number on. You may start to see some of those actually pop up, those first home runs from guys. And I guess the market's going to get established for that. I would say, it could sell for several thousand dollars. It just depends on how popular of a player he is.
That's right. Jeter-like.
Okay,
what
now,
would Jeter's go
here,
for
here's
right
one
now?
Real quick before we get to the break. Chris Bryant, okay? He hasn't hit a home run yet. Let's say he hits his first home run and you catch that ball. I don't even think you have to wait for him. I think Chris Bryant sells for a fortune right now.
Yep.
I think that would be thousands and thousands of dollars if you got Chris Bryant's first home run ball right now and auctioned it.
I think you're right.
And MLB authenticated.
So if you know who buys it for thousands and thousands of dollars, he's the one now taking a shot.
Yeah, he's taking the risk. It's just like with his real expensive rookie cards that are selling for thousands. He's got some prospect low number autographs that are selling. I saw a couple traded at T-Crown that were in the $3,000 range. So, I mean, there's a lot of money for a guy. Looks like he'll be a great hitter. But that would be, boy, I'd love to see that in a Huggins and Scott auction to see where that would go. So, Bill, let's keep our fingers crossed. Whoever gets that ball is going to stop in at T-Crown and say, you know what, I want to put this baby in a Huggins and Scott auction. All right, it's time for a short break. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Give us a call with your question about your collectible, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday, 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Give us a call at 312-332-3776 with a question, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. We're giving away to one caller. Last week's winner didn't contact Vince at ercdelivery.com to get the prize delivered to him, so we're giving away the 2015 Upper Deck football box again this week. Three autographs per box of guys that were in this year's draft. And Jameis Winston autographs are selling for a good amount of money. So it's if you can get one of those, Kevin White, you've got Mariota, who the commissioner doesn't know how to pronounce it. How ridiculous was that? There was some pretty ridiculous stuff
but they
there.
Did a good job in all. I think they really, really did a good job. And the weather helped. It was beautiful.
It really
everybody
is.
Everybody had a great time.
It was
everybody
a neat
was
setup, without a doubt.
Absolutely. I think the only thing was, with Doug Buffon passing not too long ago, that they should have probably done a moment of silence or something. I just think that would have been appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer, but what did he play, 15 years for the Bears and such a great guy in the career afterwards? Yep. Which ties into this call. The Riverview guy's on the line. What do you have there, Riverview guy?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you today?
Morning.
How's everything?
Not bad. So you have a Buffon mini helmet?
Yeah, I do. It's an autographed. I got it at Hooters in Schaumburg. I met Doug. He's
okay.
A great guy, and got it autographed by him. And also, I had Gene Autry, who owned the California Angels at one time, and his partner, Pat Buttram, that was on his show, who later became Mr. Haney on
Makers. That was Pat Buttram, huh? Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
So what do you have of the two of them? They're signed on something?
Yeah, they're cut signatures. My mom got them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I was a little kid.
I would think the buffoon is in the mini helmet would be $40 or $50. Bill, have you ever anything of Gene Autry? I know I've seen some things of him that go for some pretty good money.
I think we had a single sign baseball at one time that got, I'd have to check and say, but I want to say several hundred dollars.
Yeah, that. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, that's a good item. Now, on Twitter, I've got some items that have been sent to me. Last week, I didn't have time to get it on. Eddie on Twitter sent me a Purple People Eaters, all four signed in purple by Metropolitan, right outside of Metropolitan Stadium. That's kind of neat because of the fact that they were known for playing and dominating in that stadium. So I think that's probably in the $100 to $150 range. And then Corey on Twitter sent a picture of a Leaf Chris Bryant Leaf Trinity pure glass autograph number 2 of 10. Now, Leaf Trinity doesn't sell as much as like the Bowman Chrome stuff does. So this one, it sells not only, but $150 to $200. If you had something to 10 of Chris Bryant in Bowman Chrome from the same year, you're talking thousands of dollars. So
can you
just
remember anybody who's had this much hype coming out as a rookie first year? He hasn't even hit his first home run. Somebody just really just dominating like this.
There have been guys, but he's one of, you know, he's right up there with some of the top guys that have ever come out as far as how people are going after his stuff. I mean, he just looks like such a.
You got to go back to Ron Kittle, right?
Yeah, Ryan Kittle is rookie year. Yeah, remember he had 30-some homers. And at the hype machines weren't going quite the same at that time, though. But Chris Bryant, he's just one of those guys. It's a pleasant guy, it seems like. And looks like he's going to be, with all these prospects coming out, he's the guy they've zeroed in on. But he's not alone, which is good for the Cubs. I mean, yep. Addison Russell looks good. Castro's still young. Soler looks like a... He'll be a power hitter probably if he can keep from wearing that stupid scarf mask thing he wears when it's like 40 degrees out. Come on, toughen up.
They got a shot here.
Surprisingly to me, looking way better than the White Sox. And sooner or later, it might be Gardenhire time for the White Sox. But they're catching. I posted yesterday. They really, if there's a good catcher in the draft this year, they need to draft one. Tyler Flowers just is a horrible defensive player, and not that great. He's got power, but that's about it. They're in trouble. I think Soto's their best catcher right now, and that's not a good thing. All right, let's go to Ted from Willowbrook's on the line. What do you have there, Ted?
I've got a souvenir bat from the 1932 Yankees-Cubs World Series.
Ooh. Oh, really? Now, was that something that they sold at the park at the time, or where did that come from? Do you know the history behind it?
It actually came from a garbage can, and I found it when I was a kid in the alley.
Well, even better. Bill, have you ever run one of those?
I want to say we have. It's a mini bat. It's about 16 inches long.
Yeah, and it's versus Cubs, so it obviously was at Wrigley Field.
Oh, yeah, that was a souvenir that was actually sold at the games back then.
Yeah, there's got to be some pretty decent value to that.
It's about a $300 to $500 item, depending on condition.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of neat. No signatures on it, I'm sure, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a neat item, though.
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, thanks for the call. You know, Eric, for some reason, the drop button isn't knocking these guys off the line when I'm hitting it. I don't know if there's anything you can adjust on it, but that's kind of odd. Usually you hit this and they're gone. So I don't know. See if you can adjust something on that baby. Now, Phil on Twitter sent, Phil from Highland. He has 05 U.S. cellular seats authenticated by the White Sox used during the World Series. I wonder if Phil used them himself. They do have a little plaque on him. He's got a picture of where it says 2005 World Champions installed 1991, removed 2005. I like it that the teams are getting more specific with stuff like this. But I would think these seats, maybe, what, 200 to 400 each, you think, right now, Bill, on White Sox stadium seats?
Yeah, probably more so in the Chicago area than maybe nationwide like that. I mean, I know we get a lot of people. We've had over the years a bunch of Yankee Stadium seats from 1973 when they redid the place, and they put a little plaque in the back of it. And the ones that have the plaque and everything, they'll get $750 to $1,500 in our auction, depending on what they look like.
I have a couple of the old Comiskey Park wooden seats in at T-Crown, and those seem to be going up. I think those are in the $500-$600 range now, if I wanted to sell them. But people are sitting in them so often, you know, they're part of the T-Crown atmosphere now.
T-Crown used stadium seats as well.
Yes, they're well used, too. All right, we have Mike from Evanston on the line. What's new, Mike? What do you have?
Ball from 93 that has autographs from Olerud with the batting average, Molitor with the batting average, and Robbie Alomar with the batting average. I think the last time three teammates were 1, 2, and 3 in the batting race.
Who was the first name?
John Olerud.
Olerud, that's right. Olerud, famous. I don't know if this really happened. You've heard this story, right, where Olerud was in spring training wearing his baseball helmet at first base, and Ricky Henderson was on his team and said, wow, I had a guy last year on my team that wore a helmet on the field. The only time I've ever seen that, Olerud's like, you were on my team last year, Ricky.
No, I haven't heard that.
It That's sounds funny. Like Ricky. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's a good story whether it's legit or not. So it was Olerud, Molitor, and
Alomar.
Robbie Alomar Jr.
Oh, so you got two Hall of Famers on there. Olerud and his helmet won't ever make it, but he had a couple big years. What do you think of that, Bill?
Gosh, I like the inscriptions and all that somebody had put on there. That's a real crime. I mean, that could be, you know, 100, 200, or it could blow up and get a goofy number.
Yeah, especially if Ricky's in on the bidding. You never know on an item like that. So, okay, well, thanks for the call. And next on the line, we have Randall from Joliet. What do you have there, Randall? Hey, Randall. What's up?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah, I used to live in Kentucky about 20 years ago, and I picked up some unusual and neat items. First of all, I've got this cigar box that was given to Oscar Wright back in 1955. He was the owner of the Thoroughbred Swaps that won the Derby. It has his name. It has Wright's name engraved in the top. It has Swaps's name, and it has Swaps's father's name. Bank. I think his name is Banker's Note.
Wow, is it cool looking, like high quality wood type thing?
No, sterling silver with rosewood inlaid.
Ooh,
it's about 9 or 10 inches long. It's probably 2 inches tall, because it's domed, and it probably holds 4 or 5 cigars.
Wow. What do you think of that baby, Bill? I know nothing value-wise, but it sounds like a valuable item to me. But there's a lot of horse racing collectors, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I think we're going to have to look that up in our Beckett cigar box.
Yeah, right. I think that might be one of those things that would be surprising, where a few guys would be after it. What horse won that Derby?
I don't know how much it weighs.
Swaps.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds very cool. Would you auction that, Bill?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, the sterling silver content of that thing could be hundreds and hundreds of dollars by itself, depending on how much it weighs.
Yeah. Very cool. And you had something else, Dwight?
Yes, it's Randall. But
oh,
I,
Randall, I'm sorry.
I've got a couple old baseball bats. They were never used. I also bought those when I lived on the edge of Louisville. They're not embossed. They're not engraved. But I'm going to say they're, just from looking at them, I bought them 20 years ago. They're at least 75 years old.
Hmm. So they're,
they have no markings on them at all?
No markings whatsoever.
Yeah, that's gonna that hurts right there. If it was, let's say it was a Mickey Mantle or a Joe DiMaggio model bat, then you know you've got something better with no markings on it. I don't know. That's kind of neat.
They're standard size. The color of them's a nice satin chestnut brown.
Hmm. Any value, you think, Bill?
My gosh, it would be hard to say without seeing them and having somebody do a little research. I mean, if you could photo match them to time periods and stuff, but chances are they were probably not used in a major league game.
Right.
Which would really put their value in a much lesser category than if they could be determined as something from the 20s and used by so-and-so.
Well, it's time for another short break here. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away to one caller or tweeter a box of 2015 Upper Deck Football, which has three autographs per box. So give us a call, 312-332-3776, or you can tweet a question with a picture to at @TCrownTom on Twitter, and if we get to it, you'll get in the drawing. Also, Bill, we sent along this week, I saw it arrived at Huggins and Scott, the Robert Kennedy and JFK, hopefully signed by them, book. So that'll be interesting to see if that turns out to be authentic signatures on that baby.
Oh, yeah. I think Ricky and Ryan are going up to JSA on Tuesday, so we should know whether we're all good or not. So.
Oh, yeah. Did you happen to see, or you weren't probably at the office, were you, when that got there? You probably haven't seen it yet, have
you? No, I think it came either late Friday or early yesterday or something, and I wasn't there.
Yeah, that is so neat. With the,
I'll see it tomorrow. Yeah.
With the extra letter from Robert Kennedy, you know what, if it's not authentic signatures on the book, you know, maybe he said, yeah, let's, to his secretary or whatever, let's get something out there and put the president's name on there also. But it would be so cool if they actually did sign it.
Yep.
But that's why there are authenticators. They'll figure it out. So we've got Dwight's been waiting from Michigan. What do you have there, Dwight?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, I got three baseball cards here. One, my favorite baseball player, Roberto Clemente.
It's all right. Did a cheer.
Yeah. Mine too.
Well, I'm an old guy. I'm 59, you know. It's the Sporting News card. It's a 1968. It's got 68 All-Star selection. Bob Clemente on it.
Yeah, a lot of his Topps cards had Bob. Some had Roberto, some had Bob. Are you familiar with that particular card, Bill?
Yeah, it's probably the All-Star card, like I said, from that year. They're probably $10 to $25, depending on condition.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. So the Sporting News is Topps affiliated?
Oh, yes. No, that should have a card number on the back of it.
I know in 61 they had, I think it was 61, they had a Sporting News, like, subset inside the top set. So that's what I'm thinking that you're talking about. What are your other cards?
Well, a guy just tied one of the greatest ball players this weekend, with 660, Willie Mays. And I priced this one, 20 years ago, and it was like 45, 50 bucks for some reason. The other cards above and below weren't as much. But the last year of his official major league numbers is 63, so I figured it was a 64 card.
Okay, yeah, if that's the case, that's a nice card. How nice a condition?
Very good, I would say. I mean, very minimal on the corners. Yeah. I mean, minimal.
Okay, so maybe something in the 6 or 7 range. That's probably, you're probably somewhere in the $50 to $100 range on that card, I would think. You know, it all depends on the condition, but that's what I'm thinking on the condition, on the value of that one. Glenn from Montgomery's on the line. What do you have there, Glenn?
I've got a Mark McGwire figure with a card. It's unopened. It's maybe not much, but my son found it at a garage sale yesterday for 50 cents. So it's the Topps Action Flats 1999 Series 1.
I still have some of those. Yeah, a lot of those are they'll end up in my dollar box occasionally, and not a lot of value to those. But, I mean, it's kind of neat. And you never know. I mean, down the road, I don't think they made millions of those. So that's right. There was a little card with that also, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Hang on to it. Who knows? Maybe it'll be worth something when your grandson is ready to pick something up. Jeff from Highland Vintage Milwaukee Braves. He sent this on Twitter. Pictures of Milwaukee Braves and Cincinnati Reds bobbleheads. These are cool looking bobbleheads. They're nice color to them from, it looks like, probably early 60s. You guys run a lot of the bobbleheads in Huggins and Scott auctions, don't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah. We got a bunch of them coming up in this current auction in June. The Braves one should have a mascot face, and the Reds usually has sort of a round face with a little hat on top of him.
And a mustache. Yep, that's what he has.
Yep. Yeah, those are in nice shape. Both of those are a couple $100 a piece.
Yeah, they look in nice shape. Those are pretty neat, actually. So that was Jeff from Highland on Twitter. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Let's get back to the phone calls. Lenny's waiting on the line from Orland Park. What do you have there, Lenny?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
After the Kentucky Derby, I thought I'd call in. We owned a horse that was Secretariat was the grandfather. And I got to meet Ronnie Turcotte, and he wrote a handwritten letter for me that states what I asked him. I said, could you write what was going through your mind at the Belmont Stakes? And I've got the handwritten letter from him. You know, he was paralyzed shortly after the Kentucky Derby. And also Penny Chersey and Ronnie Turcotte and the photographer signed a 16x20 picture of the Belmont Stakes, of him having that big lead. That's a common picture. But I got the handwritten letter by Ronnie and the picture of the Belmont signed by Penny and Ronnie and the photographer.
Now, not to read the whole letter, but do you have a highlight of that letter of what he was thinking?
Yeah, it's about two paragraphs, and he says in the letter, I had no doubt in my mind that Secretariat would win that race because it was a long track, and he was going for the world record on it, and it's a great letter that he signed that goes along with the picture.
So were you actually able to stand next to Secretariat? And, I mean, did you know them all well enough that when Secretariat was around that you were up close?
No, I did not.
No, huh?
No, I did not. We bought the horse well after that race, but I got to meet Ronnie, and we sold the horse since. But
did you race that horse?
No, it was actually a show horse that we had, but I do have the papers on that showing Secretariat as the sire to that horse.
Now, what do you think of the value of that, of the letter, when you have the thoughts going through his mind? I think that's kind of neat. How much value do you think that puts on it, Bill, or what do you think?
I mean, it adds significant value to it. How much significant value translates into dollars, it would be that would be something you'd almost have to let the world tell us what it's worth.
Yeah, that would be, so you would run that in a Huggins and Scott auction if you wanted to put it in ever?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, the content of that is very, very, you know, desirable by a lot of people. Anytime you get letters with great content in them, those are way better than a just a tight little, you know, thank you for asking for my autograph. Type.
Especially tied in with Secretariat, because there are so many Secretariat collectors. It's not, yeah, that would really, I hope you, I mean, obviously you might want to keep that, but if you ever do decide to auction it, I'd love to see it. I'd like to see what that did. I think it might be surprisingly high priced.
Okay.
So thanks for the call. That's very interesting. All right, next on the line we have Greg from Elmhurst. What's new, Greg? What do you have?
Good morning, guys. My father-in-law has a football from the 1962 Chicago Bears, and it was signed by everybody on the team.
Now, are you talking about the 63 champions or 62?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Get
okay.
My ball.
That's better.
That makes a difference, yeah.
Oh, cool.
1963, signed by all the players. It was not a game used ball, but it was one of their balls, and it was signed by everyone on the team.
Okay, now you got everybody on that one.
He's got everyone on it.
Wow.
That's twice. He said he has everyone on it.
I don't know what that would do in an auction, but I would think if you had it in a retail store in Chicago, you'd be well over 1,000 on it. Might be one of those things you ask a couple grand on it, I would think. I mean, a lot of those guys are not able to sign anymore.
Right.
Now, from an auction standpoint, Bill, and do you think it has that type of value, or is that more of a local value?
Well, I think the fact that it's a championship team ball, that gives it national value,
okay.
You know, as opposed to just local value. So, yeah, no, I mean, I don't know how many Hall of Famers were on that team, but I know Ditka, I think, was on the team.
Yep, he was.
There were several other Hall of Famers, I thought, on that team.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was Doug Atkins? I can't think off the top of my head. That was before Sayers and Butkus. Maybe Pettibone. He's not a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at that roster. Maybe that's something I'll do during the week. But it sounds like Bill would be interested in putting it in a Huggins and Scott auction if you ever did want to sell it. That's
I'll mention it to my father-in-law. So you're thinking, maybe a grand or two grand, something like that.
I would think so. Wouldn't you think it should break 1,000, Bill?
A championship also would be very, very uncharacteristic if it didn't break 1,000.
Yeah, especially with the following that the Bears have, and I'm pretty sure it would get a mention on the show when it was auctioning. So, yeah, that's interesting. You don't see many of the six. You see more of the '86 Bears stuff than the '63s around. So, I think that'd be cool to see
for. We get a lot of balls from the Packers era back then, and even the Browns. But I don't know that I've seen a Bears ball from that championship season.
Packers, if Lombardi's on it, those go for some bucks, right?
Yeah, they do, but there's a bunch of them out there.
They did seem to sign quite a few. There are a lot of those out there. Okay, next on the line we have Mike from Highland Park. What's new there, Mike? I think we lost him. How about Darren from Iowa waiting on the line? What do you have there, Darren?
Hi, I have last year's Iowa Cubs team signed bat.
Now that's actually a good bat, but real quick reminds me of a story. Customer about 10 years ago, they in Iowa they had a thing in like January where Cub prospects would sign. Okay,
he's
in an elevator. He would take baseballs to it to get some Cubs prospects to sign. In the elevator walks Jerry Seinfeld. And I'm like, oh man, a Jerry Seinfeld signed baseball, that'd be awesome because he's a baseball fan and you don't see those a lot. He goes, oh, I didn't want to waste a ball on Seinfeld. He got some worthless Cub prospect 10 years ago. It wasn't like now. Yeah, so it's like, oh my gosh, a Seinfeld ball to me, that's 500 or 600 at least. So anyway, so who all did you get on your Cubs prospect bat?
Well, I got Bryant and Solaire and Baez and Alcantara were already called up.
Well, that might be better, if it's just those.
I know the way it's going.
Is it just those two on it?
No, it's those two plus 13 others.
Oh, a lot of them.
Here's the kicker. It was a giveaway. You sign your name up at one of the booths, and
It's a Ed Randall's bat for the cure, strikeout prostate cancer, baby blue bat.
Oh, now that's cool. With Brian and Solaire, that's going to have very good value. I'm thinking hundreds. Bill, do you have anything to add to that? Anything?
I would say that would be a great bat to just put away and watch Brian's career go, you know.
Yeah, see what happens with it. But I'll tell you, right now he's so hot. If you don't think he's going to have a great career, it's a good time to sell it right now. If you think he's going to be a great player, then hang on to it long term.
Yeah, and last year I lost all my autographs in a fire, and this is the first one I got back, and I won it.
Oh, really? Well, that's cool.
Excited. Yeah.
You know, if I had a valuable autograph, I'd give you my autograph, but it wouldn't help you.
Most of them I got from my grandfather when we go to the stadium.
Oh, and you lost them all in a fire?
Yeah.
Oh, that stinks. Yeah. What part of Iowa you live in?
I currently live in Elbernett, Iowa, just north of Cedar Rapids.
Okay. Well, hopefully you can get some of that stuff back. It sounds like your luck's turning anyway, so that's good. Thanks for the call. Okay, real quick, we're running out of time here. Brian from St. Charles, what do you have there, Brian?
I got my 2010 game-used hockey stick signed by the entire Blackhawks team.
Ooh, I love it.
It's Colin Fraser's stick.
Oh, it was game-used by him, huh? Okay, that's neat.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, that's another thing that in a shop in Chicago area, I think I'm asking $1,995 and taking offers. So that's a good one. Okay, next on the line real quick here, Bill from Clarendon Hills. We got time for a quick one. What do you have, Bill?
This will be a quickie. Good morning, gentlemen. Bill Johnson.
Hi.
I have a Blackhawk patch that I received from my parents when my dad and I used to go to the hockey games back in 1960, 59, 60, 61 when we had season passes.
Okay.
The patch looks almost effeminate, you know, the figure.
Okay, what do you think?
5 or 6 inches.
Any value to the patches, Bill?
Oh, gosh, I'd have to see him to tell you, and the size and everything is going to determine the value. But
pretty good. It's a good collectible anyway. Okay, Vince, time to do the drawing.
The winner this week is going to be Lenny from Orland Park. So, Lenny, email me, vince@arcdelivery.com. I'll get back to you, set up delivery at your convenience free of charge. Lenny from Orland Park.
Lenny from Orland Park. It's an Upper Deck football box. And vince@arcdelivery, you have to email him by Friday to set up the timing to get that delivered free of charge to you. Don't forget Huggins and Scott Auctions, hugginsandscott.com. Previews of their June auction are up there now. Time left for bidding real quick, or for consigning to that June auction, Bill?
Oh, yeah. We've got a couple of weeks left that we're still gathering items.
All right. Sounds good.
Have, so call us.
Have a great week.